The Perth Football Podcast is proudly brought to you by Macron Store Perth, an industry leader in quality teamwear specialising in grassroots, semi-pro and professional team attire. Visit the Macron Sports Hub Perth Facebook page for more. Thank you to Macron for helping us keep the pod running and for their continuous involvement in community sport.
Podcast with another episode of our women's show. I'm your host, Kalichio Sunwa, and I've got an absolute treat for you listeners. We've got terrific experts spanning all across the land, coming in from the UK as well. Thanks to the magic of the internet, and you watch, it'll be my internet that cuts out here in Perth. We've got Ava Elliott from Impetus Women's Football. Ava, how are you? Nice to have you on. We've also got a man who needs no introduction, Ben Gilby. How are you, Ben?
Good to be with you live.
Yeah, great to have you here as well with us. And we've also got Tommy Dolman checking in and joining us after another busy weekend of football. Tommy, how are you?
Yeah, just recovered from the weekend, Kalichi, and getting ready to do it all again.
You wouldn't have it any other way, though, would you?
Nope.
Well, look, we have had a slate of fixtures coming away through with only three games this weekend, but we can talk it through because we've got the NTC taking Mum FC on Wednesday. We'll start off with the game of the round at Dorrien Gardens. Tommy, you were there, but Ben, you also covered it as well. Perth SC 1, Perth Red Star 2. Two late goals from Caitlin Douglas giving Red Star the winner. And what did you make of it from your position, Ben? Because it looked like Perth had the lead for a bit and had all the chances.
It felt like it was one of those typical Perth Soccer Club, the Perth Red Star games. Yeah, Perth Soccer Club came out brilliantly. I mean, they took that really early lead with, 30 seconds or so on the clock. And they created all the chances in that opening 20 minutes. They had a lot of the play. But they never quite, whenever they play Red Star, they never quite build the leads that you think they deserve. And ultimately, you always know in the back of the head, this is Perth Red Star. Perth Red Star are clinical. They'll come back. They'll find a way. And, you know, they did it again. I mean, it helps that they've got Caitlin Douglas, who is just sensational. But both the goals she scored are phenomenal. I think as well, you need to look too at the two Japanese imports, the new ones that have come in, because I thought in the second half, the influence of them in the pitch, particularly when it came to creating that winning goal at the end, it just really showed that they've got some really talented players in that team now. You know, it's Sakiri, isn't it, who came on. I mean, she's got great touch, great movement. The vision is just phenomenal to put in for that goal at the end with Douglas winning it. It's just Perth Red Star being Perth Red Star again, and you just kind of feel for Perth Soccer Club, despite the fact they always go toe-to-toe to them. They always create chances, but they never seem to quite get that scoreboard lead that you know they need to not allow Red Star that comeback to take the points.
Yeah, I thought it was one of those games where Perth came out on the front foot and with a little bit of a point to prove. Obviously, Danielle Brogan's back at the club now as head coach, so this was a test for her early in the season against Carlos Vega Mena and Red Star, who obviously won the last two league and top four cups. But yeah, I thought Perth really came out all guns blazing. They had the better chances, as you said, Ben. And I think we really have to pay tribute to Gabby Del Bosco, because I thought she was sensational on the day. She made 3, 4, 5 crucial saves, most of them in the first half when Perth really could have been 2 or 3 nil up. But one in particular in the second half when the game was in the balance as Ella Lincoln found herself through on goal, but then Del Bosco came out to smother at the feet of the striker. But despite all of Perth's efforts and intensity that they gave in the first half, I suppose given the conditions on the day, it was very hot yesterday at Dorrien Gardens. The humidity was quite something sitting in the stadium. We got a little bit of sea breeze in the second period. But for Perth to try and execute that game plan for 90 minutes was always going to be tough, and you could gradually see Red Star getting a grip on the game and not necessarily dictating the play as such, but more or less getting it on their own terms and sort of starting to play it in the Red Star way that we've become accustomed to in recent seasons, where they're just ruthless and they absolutely make the most of every single possible opportunity that they have. So, look, from a Red Star perspective, I think they've got to be very happy with that. They make it 2 wins from 2. But I think Perth can take a lot of credit out of that match. And, yeah, I think we learned a little bit more about Perth than we did about Red Star. We know what Red Star are all about, and they showed that again at the weekend. They've got match winners in their ranks. They've got some good new imports, as you mentioned, Ben, who are going to be dangerous again this season. But from a Perth perspective, I think they can take a lot of encouragement out of that performance and their round one showing. So I'll throw it to you, Ava. Did you see any of this game on the weekend?
Oh, my God.
I didn't catch any of this one, but I will definitely go back.
No, that's all right. From a Perth perspective, we saw the Ella Lincoln and Jess Flannery partnerships sort of look to blossom again. Tell us a little bit how you think that attacking dynamic is going to work this season. Obviously, Sam Mathers has joined that front three as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that you always get with Flannery is just the relentless running and the relentless energy and the creativity. I mean, you know, you've just said about the heat down there. Was it 35 degrees yesterday? And, you know, at the end of the game, she was still flying around. It looking like she was flying around that pitch as if, you know, she was fresh as a daisy. And, you know, Lincoln was really good yesterday. I mean, she had that sort of golden opportunity, right? I mean, she was one-on-one with Dalbasco. And, you know, I mean, Gabby just did what Gabby did. I mean, she's been the top shot stopper in the league for years, hasn't she? And she just came out the way she did to deny Lincoln. And, you know, not long after that, it was then Red Star went up and they got the goal in the way they did. I think Flannery is someone that possibly goes under the radar and can turn into consideration with some of the other sort of bigger name players in that league. But she's going to have more of an impact this year, because I think Perth had so many injuries last year. It was so difficult, particularly offensively, for that team to get going and to gel regularly last year, which is, you know, they managed to keep getting the results somehow and get into the grand final. But I think if they can keep everybody much more fit this year, I think Flannery and Lincoln, the way they're linking up, you know, on that flank and then into the centre areas, I think that could be a really, really good strong point for Perth this year. And as you say, Mathers has come in, and you know, Charlie Rainwright as well has come in from Mum FC as captain. And, she, you know, she's always a, you know, really cultured player. And you still have to remind yourself just how young she still is as well. So it's a big change in that team, but it's equally exciting. I'm really fascinated to see what happens on Saturday when Balcata go back down there. And I think that's going to be a fascinating game all over the pitch.
Yeah, we'll come on to that one in a moment when we sort of have a look forward to next week's games. But from a Red Star level, Ben, where do they keep finding these players from? Sakari came in, as you said. She added a little bit of nous, a little bit of know-how, and just sort of put herself about and started winning some 50-50s, playing the simple things, doing the tidy things well, which was really effective in the heat. And we saw some glimpses of that new midfield three of Perth's Wainwright and Daisy McAllister in there as well. But in the end, it was just that power of Red Star, which we've seen so often over the years, that were able to get the game on their terms.
Yeah, and also Sarah Carroll as well, because it was, you know, up until those sort of the 20-minute mark, you saw very little of Carroll on the ball. You saw, you know, to be fair, you saw little of Douglas on the ball at that in early stages. But so it was almost at that point, once Carroll got herself going, once she got the runs going, once she got possession out on the flank there, that was kind of like the catalyst for me where things started to turn around for Red Star yesterday. I think in terms of where they're getting the increased numbers of Japanese players in that team, I mean, I know last year's pair that came over there, that was from University Links, wasn't it, in Japan, which, and obviously once you've got that group of players coming in from country, those contacts are there and those contacts are that bit wider, and you know they're reaping the rewards of that, because already it looks like they've got two new fantastic looking players in there in terms of the creativity and just the smartness you're not on the ball.
Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. I was just going to say, just adding on to that. Sorry, guys, I lost me for a quick second. But going on to that, I think they got the two Japanese imports through links with Reina. She had such a great time here in Perth that she spoke to friends who played in what I understand is a league above and said, hey, come down to Perth. You're going to have a great time. Enjoy yourself and play some great football as well. So that's the Red Star brand developing and going international, and that's exactly what you want to see from the league as well.
I think the other thing just to make mention as well is that from a perspective of the game, I thought Red Star's defence tightened up a lot better as well. I thought the job that Andy Teixeira and Quinn Doan did on that left-hand side, Jess Flannery was a real big outlet for Perth in that first half. A lot of their chances, including that early goal, did come down that left-hand side of Flannery's pace. But that battle with Quinn Doan was fantastic all afternoon to sort of watch from where I was sitting. And Red Star were also sort of able to tighten things up in that back end of the pitch. And it really meant that those clear-cut chances weren't as free-flowing for Perth. And as a result, when you've got a match winner on the pitch, such as a Caitlin Douglas, Ben, we've seen her in the league with Balcatta in the first season of the NPL Women's Era. She did sign for Perth after a stint with the Glory in that COVID-affected season, and then she unfortunately suffered an injury. But she's gone over east and she's come back, and after her impact in the night series in the first couple of rounds, how much of a weapon is she going to be this season?
Oh, it's immense, isn't it? I mean, you can see... So you can see the sheer class of it. It's the, you know, you think back to the goal that she scored last week against Subi when she just drove through, you know, she drove through from the own half, literally. But the quality of both of those finishes yesterday, it's way above. It is a class apart, and I think it's that touch, you know, it's the pace, but it's also that knowledge, doesn't it, that comes not just through years of experience as a, you know, as a player at a good level, but it's sort of the players that she's been around throughout her career as well that helped to develop that. And I think that in itself is so valuable for Red Star, the players that they're, you know, they players that they continue to bring through at such a young age as well. That's, you know, that sort of leadership and example that she can provide, both in terms of experience but also what she can do on the pitch, is, you know, that's massive for them as a club as well.
I think the other thing that you can see from her is she's playing with such confidence. Before she scores that second goal, there's this really lovely touch where she kind of just backheels it to the player while running in like full motion as well. And it seems like everything she touches goes to gold right now. And between that touch, between the free kick where she squares it off for Olivia Wood to score as well, she's just playing with this joy, this like it's so great to see, where she's literally bouncing up and down that field. She looks so happy, she looks so confident, and I'm sure it's rubbing off on the players as well. And I think you had a chat with her as well, Tommy.
I did, yeah, but firstly, I just wanted to make mention of something that I referred to on the call and Red Star's phenomenal away record that they've got in the league in the top four over the years. They've not lost on the road since round 21 of 2021, and that is a big reason for their success. Obviously, they had that undefeated season in 2022 when they did that clean sweep of the trophies, and then in the league last season, both of their games they lost were at home to NTC and Balcatta, so their record on the road has been phenomenal, and it's been a big reason as to why they are where they are. And it sort of goes along the lines as well that their record at Dorrien Gardens has been sensational over the years as well. So, yeah, we've sort of run out of superlatives and ways to describe that Red Star team over the recent seasons that we've been podding, and I'm sure we'll be praising them a lot more during the course of the season. But after the game, I managed to have a chat with Caitlin Douglas, the match winner on the day, as Red Star made it 2-2, thanks to her brace.
Perth Football Podcast, Tommy Dolman here at Dorrien Gardens after a thrilling game here between Perth Soccer Club and Perth Red Star. Red Star winning by 2-1 thanks to 2 goals from Caitlin Douglas, who was the match winner in the end after what was a real tight tussle between two teams expected to be duking it out once again in season 2024. I'm joined now by Caitlin after her brace today. Caitlin, well done on the win today. It was really hot and humid out there. How tough was that to get over the line against Perth?
Yeah, that was super tough. It was so hot, and I feel like at Red Star, we don't really perform in the heat. So all credit to the girls. They did amazing to pull through for the win.
And against this Perth team as well, who really tested you throughout the game, you found yourselves behind inside the first 60 seconds. So what was it that the girls had to do to make sure that they didn't get their heads down after that first 60 seconds and just continue to do what you girls do best?
Yeah, they're always a tough squad. They're really well drilled, and you can see that. We just didn't start from the start, which we really need to work on. I think we're quite a mature squad, and we really shown that and come back with the two goals.
You're obviously back in WA after a little stint over East, and you're back at one of your former clubs as well. So nice to put a couple of goals in the back of the net. But how are you enjoying your time back in WA? You've made a red hot start to the campaign, that's for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I love Perth. It's obviously my home, and it's always great to play in front of family and friends. So yeah, super stoked. And it's so great to see that the league's really improved. So looking forward to the season.
A word for Gabby as well, who made two or three fantastic saves today when you guys were 1-0 down and you were in a little bit of a funk perhaps. So how important is it that you've got your goalkeeper behind you, and how much confidence does it give the girls knowing that you've got a shot stopper like that behind you to make sure that you stay in the game?
Yeah, I've played with Gabby for so many years. I love having her between the poles. She has so much confidence. She puts confidence in us as well, which is all credit to her. You can't go wrong with Gabby Dalbosco. She's the best.
So two wins from two now. I think you're second in the league. Balcatta, I think, have still got you on goal difference. But this is business as usual, really, for Red Star after titles in the past 2 years. What is it about this club that makes you guys just so strong mentally that you just believe you can win every game?
The girls just believe in themselves, and we're such a tight-knit group. I've had the best time like coming into the squad, and Carlos is just an incredible leader, and as well as the team behind him, Sean, and our physios, our reserves as well. Everyone's just really follows the structure, and we're all bought into it, and yeah, hopefully top four for the season.
And UWA next week, promoted outfit, but they've shown in their first two games that they're going to be very competitive this season. I'm sure it's just all about making sure that the girls get back on the track. They maybe cool down a little bit from this heat today, and then you go again next week with that attitude that you always have.
Yeah, always go out to score goals and win and keep clean sheets. It's not going to be an easy game by far. None of the games this season will be easy. We're always going to look to put our best foot forward and get the 3 points.
Great performance today. Well done, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
We transition into the other game on Sunday afternoon, and the league leaders, who are currently goal difference above Perth Red Star, Balcatta Etna, winners by 3-1 against Fremantle City. A couple of goals in the first half from Lucy Jerram, and then a scrambled goal from Katarina Jukic, all a little bit messy, sort of in the 6-yard box. Balcatta with a comfortable lead at the break. Fremantle City had their moments, but Balcatta really did have the game under control, and Abby Meekin's penalty made it 3-4, a late consolation for Freo. And Avra, I believe you watched that game. So what did you make of Balcatta's performance as they made it 2-2 to join Red Star at the top?
I thought Balcatta were honestly phenomenal. They really, really looked really organised in what they were doing. Their passing sequences were, I really took note of it. They were really, really, really organised on the pitch. As you said, Fremantle had their chances, but they just couldn't seem to get past that back line.
So I've gone on the internet, and thanks to the good people at Squareball, we've got some stats, and it really kind of blew me away because Balcatta had 70% of the possession, to 30, of course. But from the shot count, it looked like it was pretty similar, right? It was 25 shots to 17. And typically when you've got a lead, it becomes a kind of counter-attacking game where you don't need the ball, so you kind of cede possession. But Balcatta kept a lot of that possession, but Frio still had quite a few shots. So what was kind of happening in the game that led to Frio still being able to have all those shots?
With Fremantle City, I think they are a team that are always going to have the ability to move the ball with a bit of zip and a bit of pace, because you still have some very good ball players in there, and you still have that youth in the side that we've seen sort of Faye Chambers build over the past couple of years. But what they are sort of missing really is that cutting edge in the final third, and we've sort of seen Michaela Lyons not really be as much of a part of the side in the past year or so due to injury and various other things. And obviously Jamie Lee Gale has now departed Fremantle City as well. So there is a lot of reliance on Laura Waltman to be able to kind of do everything. But Fremantle City is still a good footballing side, and Fane Chambers still coaches them really well. It's just that perhaps that chemistry and that cohesion isn't quite there in the early part of the season as they obviously look to sort of build with this newer, younger group.
think as well, it's a hard time for a team in that position that Freo are currently in terms of that slight transitional time, to go to Balcata, who I've been, you know, they hit 7 goals last week. They were, you know, really impressive in pre-season, other than what happened in the night series final. So it's a tough task to go to Balcata this early in the season, the way things are for both teams at the current time too.
Did you get a sense that you could really see the style of play that Pete wants them to play? Because there were moments in that night series final where the first half they kind of kicked into gear. Well, sorry, the first half they didn't really kick into gear. The second half it kind of kicked into gear, and by the time they really got going, they'd already scored to make it 3-1. And obviously they played last week, but are you starting to see a little bit more of Pete's imprints on the team?
I've spoken to Pete, and we've certainly had a couple of conversations with him at times when we've bumped into him. And I think at Perth, he was trying to play a brand of football that was easy on the eye, and he had quite a lot of success with that, to be honest. It was only really two phenomenal Red Star teams that were in his way in terms of Perth being able to really push it. And yes, they claimed a night series last season, but they were probably... but they obviously got to a top four final as well and were runners up in the league. So they can count themselves probably a little bit unlucky that there was one team that was better than them in the final shakeup. But I think there's been a little bit of not necessarily a change as such, but maybe a couple of subtle tweaks just to sort of say, not necessarily less of the pretty football and the ball playing, passing football in the midfield, but more trying to use those transitions, trying to use that dynamic attacking play and those really devastating counterpunches that Balcata are very capable of doing. And Ava, we saw that with Lucy Jerram's goal, the first one of the game. She obviously had that fantastic 4-goal hole last week with a couple of excellent finishes, and she displayed another one at the weekend.
Yeah, she was intense all game. She had a good chance at the start as well, the start of the first half that I thought was going in, but she hit the crossbar. So
I think it's just the way that she played that ball between the two defenders was just stunning, and then just ran on. That in itself, you know, I was like, wow, when I saw that. But then you sort of throw in that finish that she did as well. I mean, she is absolutely on fire, and it is so good to have her back in WA.
I think the finish is what's really, really like impressed me. I went and saw a few of the highlights that she had while she was playing over East, and you could see that she's got this really rasping shot, and she displayed that last week as well. But, you know, watching her in the night series, you just could tell she's got bags of pace. And we mentioned earlier that, or in a previous episode, that at times there was no one that was there kind of supporting, and she'd have to kind of almost go on her own. But the fact that she's adding this quality of finishing, and she's starting to look comfortable in the league as well, she's starting to get adjusted to it. And if you think about the other attacking options that Balcata might have as the season progresses, it could look absolutely frightening for the league and for a former top goal scorer who's now going to come back. And this player's probably already got 10, 15 goals and and has got the lead for the top goal scorer.
Yeah, it's certainly a frightening prospect. And as Ben alluded to after our discussion on the first game, that Perth versus Balcata Etna game on Saturday night, a 5 p.m. kickoff here in the West. So if you're at any 3 p.m. games, then get yourselves out to the 5 o'clock game at Dorrien Gardens, because that's going to be an awesome night. Obviously, Pete Rakic going back to Perth as well. I'm sure he's going to have a little bit of a point to prove as well. So that's going to be eyes on your screen stuff, that's for sure.
That's going to be a spicy fixture for sure. Real spicy. Can't wait. And it's a late game as well, Tommy. So there's a chance for another big day of football for us.
Absolutely, Kalichi. So unless anybody's got any further thoughts on Balcata Etna and Fremantle City, we'll move on to the third and final game that was played on the weekend. This was the Saturday afternoon fixture played between UWA Netherlands and Subiaco. Two teams looking to get their first points of the season, and that's exactly what they got. UWA Netherlands taking the lead through Emily Dinsdale before Cassandra Harvey scored twice in the space of a couple of minutes to turn the game in Subiaco's favour. But then in the second period, a nicely executed lob gave UWA Netherlands a 2-2 draw It said Samara Richards on the team sheet and the number on the back matched Samara Richards on Squatty as well, Ben. But apparently it was Charlotte Swan who scored the goal. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anyway, a 2-2 draw and I suppose a point for each team, but who's going to be the happier with that result, Ben?
Probably UWA Netherlands. I mean, I think, you know, Subiac, I mean, again, they produced their stats show, you know, the share of the game that they had and everything. I mean, I've seen both UWA Netherlands games now. I didn't see all of the game on Saturday, but most of it. And I think what they've got is they're very well organised. They've got very well disciplined defence. They've got weapons up front that could get goals in these games against teams at the bottom. I think Subiaco would have gone in there probably wanting to get the result. I think they were capable possibly of getting the result. But, you know, UWA Netherlands, they've just got sort of stickability in there. They can compete and they can get something from these games. And these are the games against Subiaco and probably Mum FC, the way the league's probably shaping up, are going to be those key games for them. I think it's just going to be a matter if they can keep picking up those points down there, because I think as the season goes on, Subi are going to get better. You know, they're going to get better. They're going to pick up wins, not just against the teams around them, but, you know, they're always one of those awkward teams potentially to face. And they're always capable of picking off one of the higher teams. So I think come the end of the season, this is a result probably that Netherlands will be more happier with. I think Subi have got things to build on, and I think Subi will have a decent season. But I've been impressed with them. It's good to see that it's much more competitive down there now amongst the teams, and that's only a positive thing for the league's development.
That's certainly the feedback that I've had from some of the players and the coaches as well, and even some of the observers of the league who've been watching the first couple of weeks of the season. I got down in round one to watch them at home to NTC, and whilst NTC had plenty of chances and probably put the game to bed earlier, I think a lot of people were very impressed with the way that UWA Netherlands were able to dig in, and with that chemistry, that cohesion, a lot of those players have known each other for a long time, and they've sort of added that spine of US imports to the squad and a couple of exciting young players from other NPL sides. I think they've got a nice blend and a nice balance to build on there, and I'm sure they'll take a lot of confidence having sort of gotten the monkey off their back in the sense of getting that first point on the board. But from a Subiaco perspective, Kalichi, I'm sure they would have been eyeing off this game as one in which they could have taken 3 points, and they might be a little bit disappointed they weren't able to hang on to them, given they did lead in the game.
Yeah, they absolutely will. I think looking at the statistics, you can see that they had a lion's share of opportunities. You can see that they had more strings of play where they actually were dictating play in terms of the passes. And I genuinely think if you were to put this in perspective and talk about this last year, but the fact that they're coming in here and being absolutely disappointed because they've got top four aspirations shows you how far that they have come in such a short amount of time. It shows you the work that's been happening in Subiaco, the recruitment that they've done. And yeah, I'm so stoked to see it. I was there before the game kicked off and managed to have a chat to some of the team and some of the coaching staff. And they're all just really excited for the season. And yeah, the fact that, like I said, that we're looking at this now and they're going, well, they're disappointed with have a look at this. They're disappointed with five occasions of five or more passing strings with passing combinations. They're disappointed with 14 shots on target and not getting the result and saying, yeah, we have aspirations of being the top four side. I think that's so cool to see. And from a UWA perspective as well, like you said, it is really good to now sit here and have a competitive league where even for us in our tipping competition that we do now in our group chat, we're now having to think a little bit more about who's going to win, and you're not thinking, all right, there's only three games to legitimately tip on because we're all going to tip that one team's going to get battered, and it's just a case of how much. So yeah, it's a joy to see. It's great for the league, and I can't wait to go out there and see them more throughout the season as well.
So one other game to complete, round two of the NPLWA Women's Competition, and that one comes on Wednesday night. Not sure why that's been scheduled during the midweek of this week, but that's going to be NTC versus Murdoch University Melville at the Sam Kerr Football Centre. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. kickoff in that one, and you can get down to see the under-21s play before that at 6. So a little doubleheader there of midweek football for you if you are interested in going out and catching it or watching it on streamer.com.au. And then we look ahead to round 3. We've got Perth versus Balcatta on the Saturday night, as mentioned before, and then 3 games on the Sunday afternoon. Murdoch University, Melville, Subiaco, Perth Red Star versus UWA Nederlands, so a tough task for the promoted team there. And then Fremantle City versus NTC down at Hilton Park as well on the Sunday. So the league's just starting to take a little bit of shape now. Ava, this is obviously your first season sort of watching the local leagues here in WA. You've managed to catch a couple of games so far. How have you been enjoying it, and what have you thought so far as an overall broader picture thing? I know it's very early in the season, so I'd hate to draw any hasty conclusions or anything like that.
Yeah, I've only obviously been watching for a few weeks now, but it's been really good. It's been interesting. The streams are a little bit questionable, but it's been honestly, it's been good, really enjoyable.
Ava sort of come into the league as a new, whereas you know, we've sort of been watching it for a few years. I mean, where do you think it stands in terms of, I guess, quality from a newcomer's perspective? You know, player wise, facility wise, you know, sort of things that you're noticing in the play. So I guess you know, players that you feel have really sort of stood out, or things that you've still seen. Kind of, you've seen both of Frio's games, for example. So who's kind of stood out, you know, for a newcomer's perspective in the league in terms of what you've seen of Frio and their opponents?
I'm just trying to cast my mind back, because obviously I'm not too familiar with the players yet, but Laura Waltman has really caught my eye. She's been really good so far. She's been doing a lot of the work on her own, I think, but yeah, she's definitely been good for Fremantle.
Yeah, of course, the reigning gold medal holder as well, and winner of the best player in the league last season. So she's very much the hub and the fulcrum of everything good that Fremantle have done in recent times. And she's going to be crucial if Freo are to sort of get themselves running and moving in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, they've played Perth and Balcatta in the first 2 rounds of the season, so a pretty tricky fixture based on what we've seen in the first fortnight. But I'm sure they'll be eyeing off some points in the weeks to come.
I was just going to say, I think it's going to be a really fascinating one for them against the NTC as well this weekend, because obviously, although the NTC have got a number of players in that squad that were part of the team last year, they've lost those core 5-6 players. So it's in effect a largely newer NTC side this year. So I think it's going to be a good test, I think, of where maybe Frio are when we see them against the NTC on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so too. And I was just going to add, did we mention any of the transfers that have happened? Because I saw Lily Bailey on the team sheet and making a dive for Perth. And then obviously Perth Red Star have announced that they've signed Mishka Anderson as well, which is obviously an inside job from our favourite Anderson, Robbie Anderson.
Yes. So, yeah, that one was officially unveiled on Sunday afternoon, about an hour before the Red Star kickoff. Similar, actually, to Red Star dropping the 2 new Japanese signings about an hour before kickoff in round 1 as well. So I'm sensing a little pattern here from the defending champions. I'm wondering if they're going to announce somebody an hour before kickoff next week as well, just to sort of continue that on. I say that in jest, of course, but obviously, Lily Bailey coming in as well at Perth. That's a big signing for them. We know that she's so good with her feet. She's such a good ball-playing goalkeeper. And obviously, she's still sort of, I'm sure, getting to learn her new teammates and what their strengths and weaknesses are in terms of being able to receive passes and things like that. But I think she's going to be a big asset as well for the Azuri as the season goes on. And we've heard some rumours as well that there's potentially going to be a couple more signings at Dorrien Gardens in the coming weeks, which we can't announce just yet, but keep your eyes peeled. I think there's a few teams around the league that have still got some business to complete before the season gets rolling good and proper. So unless anybody else has got anything to add from the second week of the MPLWA Women's Competition, I think that'll just about do us for today. Thank you for joining us on the Perth Football Podcast. Remember to rate us on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave a review as well. makes a massive difference and helps the podcast to grow. You can catch a full-time whistle with us on Saturday. And we've got a couple of casual football chats coming as well, which you can catch on the Patreon. Some exciting interviews that we've got with some faces around the WA football scene. But for now, from myself, from Ben, from Ava, and from Kalichi, it's goodbye for now, and we'll see you around the grounds.
Bye, everybody.